It's Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 16, verse number 54. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. My dear sir, in this verse, there are five faults and five literary ornaments. I shall state them one after another. Kindly hear me and then give your judgment. Purport. In the verse beginning with Mahatvam Gangaya, there are five literary ornaments and five examples of faulty composition. There are two examples of the fault called Avimrishta Vidheyamsha, and one example each of the faults Viruddhamati, Punarukti and Bhagna Krama. Vimrishta means clean and Vidheyamsha means predicate. It is a general rule of composition to establish a subject first and then give its predicate. For example, according to Sanskrit grammar, if one says, this man is learned, his composition is in order. But if one says, learned is this man, the composition is not in order. Such a flaw is called Avimrishta Vidheyamsha Dosha, or the fault of unclean composition. The subject matter to be known of the verse is the glorification of the Ganges, and therefore the word idam, this, or what is known, should have been placed before instead of after the glorification. The subject matter already known should be placed before the unknown so that its meaning will not be misconstrued. The second instance of Avimrishta Vidheyamsha Dosha occurs in the words Dvitiya Shri Lakshmir Iva. In this composition, the word Dvitiya, second, is Vidheya or unknown. Placing the unknown first to make the compound word Dvitiya Shri Lakshmir is another fault. The words Dvitiya Shri Lakshmir Iva were intended to compare the Ganges to the goddess of fortune, but because of this fault, the meaning of the compound word was bewildering. The third fault is that of Viruddhamati, or contradictory conception. In the words Bhavani Bhartuhu, the word Bhavani refers to the wife of Bhava, Lord Shiva. But since Bhavani is already known as the wife of Lord Shiva, to add the word Bharta, husband, thus forming a compound meaning the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, is contradictory, for thus it appears as if the wife of Lord Shiva had another husband. The fourth fault is Punarukti, or redundancy, which occurs when the verb Vibhavati flourishes, which should have ended the composition, is further qualified by the unnecessary adjective Adbhuta Guna, endowed with wonderful qualities. The fifth fault is Bhagna Krama, which means broken order. In the first, third and fourth lines, there is anuprasa or alliteration created by sounds tha, ra and bha. But in the second line, there is no such anuprasa, and therefore the order is broken. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschate Deshadharine Chai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasahadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so we are continuing with the discussion of childhood pastimes and youth pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This pastime happens when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is 16 years old and he is in Navadvipa. And when he was 15, he started his own Pathashala, his own school, in which he was teaching Sanskrit grammar and composition, kavya. So Mahaprabhu was considered to be a very proud scholar and was considered to be someone who no one would want to challenge, because he was also very arrogant. So the local pundits, they were especially wanting to create a situation by which they could show that Mahaprabhu is not actually such a great scholar. And then came Keshava Kashmiri. You all heard of Keshava Kashmiri. Where did he come from? Keshava Kashmiri? He came from Kashmir, from the northernmost area of India. And he traveled down. And it is said that he first went to South India. And he conquered all the scholars in South India. So, in those days, when there would be a debate, it was not a matter of academics. See, nowadays we debate, there are debates on, you know, so many topics, and it's more or less an academic matter, you know. Somebody is having a view, another person is having another view, and their views keep changing as well. But these debates were not academic in nature, because one who loses has to accept the winner as their guru and become a follower. So it doesn't remain academic anymore. And hence, Keshav Kashmiri was very boastful. He would take a blank certificate with him wherever he would go. And he would challenge the scholars, the local scholars. If you want to debate with me, then you can. Otherwise, you have an option to just sign this certificate saying, I have lost, even before debating. And I am subservient to you. So he went to South India, and a king had gifted him an umbrella. And he told the king that on the southern side of the umbrella, if you divide the umbrella into four sections, on the southern side, cover it with gold. Because I have practically defeated all the scholars of south. Then he moved west, defeated everyone in the west. And then he covered the umbrella, the western side, in gold. And then he went north, from where he came, Kashmir, and he covered the northern portion of the umbrella. So only the east was left, and the principal state in east, which was renowned for scholarship, was Navadvipa. So he came to Navadvipa to make the whole umbrella golden, to cover the eastern side of the umbrella as well. And as he came to Navadvipa, we know that all the scholars, local residential scholars, actually Keshav Kashmiri was known as the son of Mother Saraswati. He was so scholarly that he had a name, Saraswati Putra Kashmiri. So they thought Mother Saraswati considers him to be her son. How is anyone going to defeat him? So all the scholars, they went to Tirtha Yatra. You know, this is escapism in its classical form. They all went to Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, and other places. And they said, let this Nimai Pandit have a debate with Keshava Kashmiri. Now, there was a reason behind it. If they lose, they would have to become followers of Keshava Kashmiri. But instead, if they put forward Nimai Pandit, who was just a boy after all, and if Nimai Pandit loses, then they could say, oh, you, Keshava Kashmiri, has only defeated a just a boy. But if Nimai Pandit wins, then they can say even a boy of Nadia, even a boy of Navadvip can defeat Keshav Kashmiri. So just see how scholarly we should be. You know, they had this plan. So they had a conference. They decided to send a letter to Keshav Kashmiri. The letter said, your match is who? Nimai Pandit. When Keshav Kashmiri read that, he immediately went to see Nimai Pandit. Nimai Pandit in the evening was with his students on the bank of the Ganges. Mahaprabhu was teaching his students and he was speaking different names of Krishna. And through different names of Krishna, he was teaching grammar. And there came Keshav Kashmiri. And Keshav Kashmiri is then asking Mahaprabhu, I have heard that you are a novice in Sanskrit grammar. You are a novice in Sanskrit grammar. And I've heard that you are also very proud. So I would like to have a discussion with you. Mahaprabhu said, please have a seat. All the students, they rose. They were anticipating what is going to happen next. And then Mahaprabhu said, your scholarship is so great and your fame is so widespread that I already heard about the fact that you are non-different from the son of Mother Saraswati. Actually, Mother Saraswati doesn't have a son, like factually speaking. But this is your fame. So, since we are on the bank of the Ganges, please compose some verses glorifying Mother Ganges. And it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Keshav Kashmiri spoke 100 verses. How did he speak? Jhanjavata, it is said, which means at a cyclonic speed. You cannot comprehend how quickly he was composing and reciting verses in glorification of the Ganges. And at the end of those 100 verses, he paused and he looked at Nimai Pandit. Nimai Pandit looked at him and said, very wonderful composition. Now please tell me, dear sir, what faults are there in your composition? And what guna, dosha and guna. Guna means embellishments have you used in your composition? Keshav Kashmiri said, faults? There are no faults. So Mahaprabhu says, please listen to me. He says this. This is the words that Mahaprabhu says to Keshav Kashmiri. He says, pancha dosha eishloke pancha alankara. Pancha dosha, there are 5 faults in your composition. Pancha alankara, there are 5 ornaments, literary ornaments in your composition. Krame ami kohi, I'm going to tell you one by one, in sequence. Shuna, listen carefully. Koroho vichara, and think about it. So here is a boy, apparently, who is saying, you have a thought about these. And Keshav Kashmiri is bewildered. His first bewilderment is, I spoke these verses at a cyclonic speed. And still this boy is able to find faults. And then Mahaprabhu said, the 64th verse that you sung, you said, the 64th verse, which goes by Mahatvam Gangaya Satatam Idam Abhati Nitaram. This verse has 5 faults and 5 ornaments. So Keshav Kashmiri was bewildered. He said, how can you remember precisely the verse that I composed? I actually myself don't remember because I was just composing. So Mahaprabhu said, the same Lord who has given you the ability to compose these verses has given me the ability to remember everything by hearing at once. Of course, Mahaprabhu is himself the Lord. But he said this, and Kesava Kashmiri immediately understood, I'm not dealing with an ordinary person. I'm dealing with a very special personality. But his arrogance was still there. And then, in this verse, and as Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, there are five faults. So, in Gitavali, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has glorified Mahaprabhu's different pastimes by giving different names for Mahaprabhu. It's a beautiful literature. One should meditate on, especially Gaur Purnima. So, there is one name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that name is Digvijayi Darpahari. Digvijayi means one who has won over all the directions, all four directions. Actually, how many directions are there? 10 directions. Top and bottom, and then 8 directions. So one who has won over all the 10 directions, he is called as Digvijayi. And Darpa means pride. And Mahaprabhu's name is Digvijayi Darpahari. One who stole the pride of he who considered himself to be the winner of 10 directions. So, we have limited time, but what I'm going to do is attempt to go through these faults, the five faults. Actually, the verse says five faults and five alankaras, but Srila Prabhupada has, in his purport, only focused on the five faults. So, we'll limit our discussion to the five faults. These are quite technical in nature. I'll try and simplify them, if possible. And then I would like to spend some time on, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the quality that we had we saw in Kesava Kashmiri was that he was Digvijayi, but he was also one who was proud. So I would like to consider, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, who is really a Digvijayi? And what is the nature of pride? And how pride is born? And, you know, so we'll see how far we can go with this. So, five faults. The first fault is called Avimrishta Vidheyamsha. Avimrishta Vidheyamsha literally means that your Vidheya, which is the unknown, has been spoken before the Anuvada. Anuvada is the known subject matter. So, for example, if I say carriage, horse, does it make sense? Horse, carriage, the horse comes before the carriage, right? So, when he was glorifying Mother Ganges, he started out by saying, Mahatvam Gangaya Satatam, the glories of Mother Ganga. And then he said, Idam, this Ganga. But Ganga is already known. The Ganga is flowing in front of the eyes. So he should have started with Idam. But instead he started by saying Mahatvam, which is unknown. The glories are unknown, but he started out by saying the glories and then this. It's technical, but the same as saying carriage horse. Or Srila Prabhupada gives the example. If you say this man, if I say this man is learned, you know that I'm talking about this man. But if I say learned, then you're wondering who am I talking about? And then I say this man, then it doesn't make sense. Learned, this man, doesn't make sense. So this was his first fault. And there are two faults of this kind. Again, we'll skip the technicality. Dvitiya Shri Lakshmihi, he said, instead of saying Shri Lakshmihi, Dvitiya. So, the second fault was, and this is an interesting one, Viruddhamati. The third fault is Viruddhamati. Viruddhamati means, in your composition you have used words which have opposite meaning. He used the word Bhavani Bhartuhu. Bhartuhu means husband. Bhavani means she who is the wife of Bhava. It is like saying that this is Mrs. Johnson, let's say. So by saying Mrs. Johnson, you're already connecting the lady to the Johnson family. So there is no need to then say, he is the husband of Mrs. or he is the husband of the family of Mrs. Johnson. It is an overkill if you say that. So if to say that you are Bhavani Bhartuhu, the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. So as Prabhupada says in the purport, it seems as if the wife of Lord Shiva might have had another husband also. Correct? Because it doesn't make sense. So this was another fault. Then the fourth fault was that he already finished the verse at the word Vibhavati. Bhavani Bhartur Yashirasi Vibhavati. It should finish there. But then because his meter wasn't finished, because Sanskrit words are very metrical, so he had to add the word Adbhuta Guna. So the additional words were redundant. So there was a fault of redundancy. And the fifth one was the fault of Bhagna Krama. There is alliteration, nice alliteration in the first line, third line and the fourth line. But the second line does not have the alliteration. Alliteration is repetition of the same sound. So for example, if you look at the last line, Bhavani Bhartuhu Yashirasi Vibhavati Adbhuta Kona. You see the bha 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 sound is repeating four times. So this is called as an ornament in poetry, Sanskrit poetry, alliteration, even in English poetry. So he had alliteration on the first line, third line and the fourth line of the verse, but not in the second line. So Mahaprabhu said, this is inconsistency. So like this, Mahaprabhu gave five faults. So far I want to say about the technicality. We could go in much more detail, but I think that suffices to say that Mahaprabhu completely broke the teeth. Mahaprabhu would say, I have appeared to break the teeth. Even when he went to Kashi, Varanasi, and he was speaking to the Vedantist, he said, I am here to break the teeth of the Vedantist. Vedanta, also if you say Vidanta, it means to break the teeth. So Vedanta, Vidanta means to break the teeth. So Mahaprabhu would say, I am here to break the teeth of these proud Vedantists. So who is Keshav Kashmiri? Keshava Kashmiri, what is his origin? In Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, chapter 16, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned how Mahaprabhu, actually it was Nityananda Prabhu, who is taking the devotees on a tour of Navadvip. And when Nityananda Prabhu is taking the devotees on a tour of Navadvip, they come across a place called Bilvapur, Bilvapaksha. Belkupur. Has anyone been to Belkupur? Bilvapaksha? It's a place near the northern side of Navadvip. And you go across the Ganges from our Bhaktivedanta Mark, take the boat, go across on the northern shore. And it's about half an hour away. So there, Nityananda Prabhu said that this is the place where lots of bilva leaves grow. The bale leaf or bilva leaf is offered to Lord Shiva. So Nityananda Prabhu said it is this place where Lord Shiva was worshipped by the Brahmanas. And amongst many Brahmanas, there was one Brahmana, one very staunch Shiva Bhakta, whose name was Nimba. And it was that Shiva Bhakta Nimba who Shiva became especially happy with. And Lord Shiva told Nimba, your master is not me. Although you have worshipped me, your real master is the four Kumaras who are sitting and doing meditation. You go there in the forest further and you will meet them. Surrender unto them and they will give you the mantra for initiation. So they will initiate you. So you had this Brahmana Nimba who went to the four Kumaras. He was actually a Shaiva Bhakta. Shiva Bhakta. Shaivite. He goes to the four Kumaras by the order of Lord Shiva. He surrenders to the Kumaras. And the Kumaras give him initiation in Radha Krishna Mantra. It is also called as Hari Vallabha Mantra. And that mantra is very similar to our Mahamantra. What is the mantra? Instead of Hare Krishna, they say Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha Radha, like that. So it's a similar mantra, but that mantra initiation the Kumaras gave to Nimba. And Nimba became known as Nimbaditya or Nimbarkacharya. And when Nimbarkacharya inquired to the four Kumaras that in Kali Yuga it is going to be extremely difficult to surrender unto the Lord. So what is the means in Kali Yuga? The four Kumaras said, in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will appear personally to distribute the holy name. And you will reappear in his pastime as Keshava Kashmiri. And that Keshava Kashmiri is non-different from Nimbarkacharya. And he also said, Nimbarkacharya, you have to become the Sampradaya Acharya of the Kumara Sampradaya. How many Sampradayas are there? Vaishnava Sampradaya? Four. Which four? Shri Sampradaya. Who is the Acharya of Shri Sampradaya? Ramanujacharya. And what did Mahaprabhu take from Ramanuja Sampradaya? In Gaudiya Sampradaya? Ramanujacharya is known for Bhakta Seva, Vaishnava Seva. So, the loving relationship between the devotees, he adopted this principle from Ramanuja Sampradaya. Another principle he adopted from Ramanuja Sampradaya was the non-dependence of bhakti on Jnana and Vairagya. Bhakti is independent of Jnana and Vairagya. These two principles he adopted from Ramanuja, Sri Sampradaya. Another next Sampradaya is Rudra. Rudra, who was the Acharya of Rudra? Vishnu Swami. Vishnu Swami, Vallabhacharya. So Vishnu Swami from Rudra Sampradaya, what did he adopt? Mahaprabhu Sampradaya, our Sampradaya has adopted two aspects. What are the two aspects? First, Raganuga Bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the first ocean, he says, Eastern Ocean, he says that the same Raga Marga, the same Raganuga Bhakti, which I am writing about, has been promoted in the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya by Vallabhacharya as the Marga of Pushti. Or Pushti Marga. Rupa Goswami glorifies. So Mahaprabhu adopted the idea of Raganuga Bhakti from Vishnu Swami Rudra Sampradaya. Second principle he adopted from Rudra Sampradaya was, anyone? Prabhuji, you have to help me out. So, we'll come back. Third Sampradaya is? Brahma. Brahma Madhva, Madhvacharya. From Madhvacharya, he adopted two principles. The first principle was to defeat the Mayavadis. Mahaprabhu adopted. And the second was the worship of Lord Krishna. Udupi Krishna, the way he is worshipped. So the worship he adopted from Madhva Sampradaya. Mayavadi, defeating the Mayavadis from Madhva Sampradaya. And the fourth Sampradaya is Nimbarkacharya Sampradaya called Kumara Sampradaya. Because Kumaras initiated Nimbarkacharya, the same Nimbarkacharya appeared as Keshava Kashmiri, who was defeated by Mahaprabhu. So, Nimbarka Sampradaya, he adopted two principles. One, the dependence on the mercy of Srimati Radharani. This is in Nimbarka Sampradaya. And the second was the exalted position of the gopis of Raja. These two principles he adopted from Nimbarka Sampradaya. Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, we come back again. The first was Raganuga Bhakti he adopted. And the second was to have exclusive dependence on devotional service only. Yes, Prabhu. The four Kumaras, yeah, they were Brahmavadis, and they, by having the, tasting the aroma, or having, you know, smelling the aroma of the tulasi of the lotus feet of the Lord, you know, when they went to enter Vaikuntha, Jaya Vijaya, that is the, when the Lord comes running, before it becomes really bad, he intervenes, and the Kumaras, they smell the lotus feet, the tulsi on the lotus, actually makarandaha, it is said in Bhagavatam, which means the pollen. So even in tulsi, you have the manjaris, right? The manjaris of the tulsi, you might have seen small buds. So it is that, the smell of the those, that completely transform the heart of the four Kumaras. So these four sampradayas, and Nimbarkacharya is Keshav Kashmiri is from the Kumara Sampradaya. Does that make sense? Are you with me? So Vishnu Swami, I said two things. One was Raganuga Bhakti and the other was the complete dependence on the Lord and the path of Bhakti only. So that is Sharanagati. So this is the revelation of the true identity of Keshava Kashmiri. Now quickly, I'll try to go through a few other things. The reason Mahaprabhu debated with Keshava Kashmiri, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, was darpa. Darpa meaning, what is the meaning of darpa? Pride. Because he was proud. And we see in all the different literatures, even I remember vaguely that, I think it's in from the Bible, there is this verse in the book of Proverbs. Pride comes before the fall. Right? So when we see there is pride, what is the next thing that comes? Fall. Pride comes before the fall. But what is the nature of pride, being proud? Actually, if we analyze, our pride most of the time is only because we are associated with or we have a possession of either a certain quality or a circumstance, or we associate with some body or, you know, some position. That is the cause of our pride. So if we are president of some association, we feel proud. If we are in charge of something, we feel proud. If we have a quality, if we can remember very well, we feel proud. If we look very beautiful, we feel proud. So either a quality or associating with something, we automatically feel proud. That is the nature of pride. So it reminds me in a Nyaya Shastra, there is one Nyaya. It is called Mashakamalla Nyaya. It's very funny, actually. It's a funny story. There was a person who belonged to a particular village. The name of the village was called Mallagrama. Mallagrama means the village where everyone is a muscular bodybuilder. Malla means to have a duel, you know. So this person belonged to that village, Mallagrama. And the village was so notorious. Anyone from that village, I remember when I visited Naples in Italy, Napoli, they say, they warned me that, you know, be very careful because it is notorious for so many things, amongst which, you know, robberies and this and that. And I went with my colleague and he was on the phone talking, and in 5 seconds he put his laptop bag between his feet and he was just talking on the phone. Only 5-10 seconds. Yes, we are coming, we are on our way, we are taking a taxi. And the laptop bag was gone. And we looked around, there was nobody. This is Naples. I'm not saying every place in Naples, but maybe. And we weren't in some dodgy, shady area. We were in a main center, city center. Anyway, so this Mallagrama was known as the village where bodybuilders live. So one man came out of that village and he went to another village. And the villagers, they asked, "We have not seen you. Kuto Bhavan, where have you come from?" He was very proud, proudly saying, "Mallagrama adagachami. I have come from Mallagrama. I have come from the village called Mallagrama." And everyone was very, very, very scared of him immediately. But they were wondering in the back of their heads, this man is so skinny. He looks like a cucumber. So skinny. But he is from Mallagrama. But anyway, we should not judge. He is from Mallagrama after all. He will, you know, bash us up. So they were so scared. Then they fed him. They looked after him. And after 15 days, they asked him, "Please recite some of your pastimes. In Mallagrama, we have heard that everyone has a lot of muscle power. So please tell us what pastimes you have done. And how come, you know, we don't know about you?" So he said, "Yes, my name is Mashakamallaha." He did not even tell his name up till then, 15 days. What is the meaning of Mashakamallaha? Mashaka means a house fly. And Mallaha means to fight. So he was only fit to fight with a house fly he was fighting. But he was treated so well and he was pride because he was associated with Mallagrama. Similarly, we are associating with the temple. "Oh, I am Vaishnava." Are Vaishnava is not because you go to temple. Vaishnava is the person. So I am now president, prime minister, something, you know, whatever, in some society or association. I am service in charge. I am a great something. Now it is only temporary up to our association with most people in this world, even very, very well-to-do people. They consider themselves who they are because who they are connected with. Actually, if you remove that connection, then they are nobody. So proud actually is one of the qualities. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, verse number 4, Bhagavan is saying, 6 qualities of demons. What are the 6 qualities of demons? Dambho darpa abhimanascha. Dambha, he is deceitful. Darpa, he is proud. Abhimana, he is deeply conceited. Krodha, he is angry. Parushyam evacha, and he is always harsh. What is the reason? Adnanam chabhijatasya. He is ignorant of his real self. And this is the reason. Partha sampadam asurim. Bhagavan is saying, this is the quality of an asura. Now if we go through those qualities, we'll see in Kali Yuga, those qualities are seen everywhere. And it will be difficult to consider who is demoniac and who is not. But the origin of darpa is given, and this is very, very subtle and beautiful point. In the 4th canto, 1st chapter, verse number 52, it mentions how Daksha Maharaj married his daughters to different personalities, to Lord Shiva, to Lord Dharma, Dharmaraja, and also to the Pitris. And amongst the wives of Dharma, one wife, her name was Unnati. She is daughter of Daksha. And from Dharma and Unnati was born Darpa. Darpa means pride. So what is Dharma? Dharma means, another meaning of Dharma is Guna. Guna or quality or virtue. So wherever there is virtue, but dharma plus unnati gives you darpa. Remember this equation of pride from Srimad Bhagavatam, like a mathematical equation. If you see a quality, dharma, guna, yeah, plus unnati. Unnati means prosperity, to come up. If one has a quality, if one has a very nice, wears very nice tilak, then nobody cares if he is wearing tilak. But if he is wearing very nice tilak, and if people start telling him, unnati comes, then from dharma plus unnati is born pride. So one is very, very, say somebody is very ambitious. That is a quality. That quality itself will not give pride. But the ambitious person then gets a high position in society. That is unnati, position. Unnati also means position. So when a person of quality is given a position, is given a recognition, Bhagavatam says, and it cannot be false, that these two things when they combine, when a person or a man or a woman of quality is given a position or respect, what will naturally come? Darpa. Darpa is the son of Unnati and Dharma. And does Krishna like Darpa? Does Krishna like pride? Certainly not. Can we have examples of how Krishna crushed the pride? Would Krishna crush the pride of demons? Does he crush the pride of demons? All the time. Any examples of Krishna crushing the pride of demons? Any demons? Huh? Paundraka. So many demons. We can continue. Actually, which demon signifies pride according to Bhaktivinod Thakur? The anarthas, they all are signified by the demons in Vrajalila. So which demon do you think signifies pride? What does pride make you feel? Huh? Denuka? Okay. Pride, I'll give you, I'll show you by a gesture, you will be able to tell me which demon. Pride takes you round and round and up. Who? Trinavarta. Trinavarta is representation of false pride. False pride starts small. Trina means grass. Starts at grass. Just grass is small, nobody bothers. But when grass is lifted, avartanam, round, 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 going up. Trinavarta, pride. This is nature of pride. Up, 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 and then what happens? Krishna breaks the pride. And he comes crashing down. The higher up you go, the more proud we are. When our pride is met with, you know, by the Lord's mercy, and it breaks, the more, you know, we fall harder on the ground. So he destroyed the pride. Actually, in the seventh canto, there is a beautiful verse. The Siddhaloka residents, they are telling Narsingadev, we are very happy that you broke the pride of Hiranyakashipu. So what about, so that is crushing the pride of demons. What about pride of the demigods? Krishna, does he crush the pride of demigods? Yes. Which demigods? Indra, very good. So 10th canto, chapter 24, we have, yes, Brahma as well. Chapter 24 says how Indra's pride was crushed. Now, what about Krishna crushing his own pride or crushing the pride of his avatars? Is that possible? Yes? Krishna, we say Krishna crushing pride of demons, yes, we saw that. Of demigods also. What about crushing the prides of his own avatars? Yes. Who said that? Jai. So, in 9th canto, chapter 10, it is mentioned how Ramachandra, after winning over Sita Devi, was returning to Ayodhya with his father. At that time, Parshuram had heard that this Kshatriya family is still there. And the Kshatriya prince, he has just won over Sita. And Parshuram had taken a vow that he will vanquish all the Kshatriyas from the face of the earth. So in the 9th canto, 10th chapter, verse number 7, says very specifically, it says, Marge vrajan bhrugupater vyanayat prarudham. On the path when Bhrugupati, which means Parshuram came, Lord Ramchandra, darpam mahim akrata, his darpa, his pride, that mahim akrata yastrir raja bijam, that I will wipe off the face of the planet 21 times. Yeah? Face of the planet from raja bija, even the seed of kshatrihood will not remain. Even if I find that some person is pregnant, as soon as the child is born, finished. If he's kshatriya, finished. That pride he had. What did Ramachandra do? He actually destroyed the pride of Parashurama. The verse says, I gave you the reference. 9th canto, chapter 10, verse number 7. What about destroying the pride of his queens? Does Krishna destroy the pride of his queens? Yes. He destroyed the pride of Rukmini Devi also. When Rukmini Devi was proud that she is always with the Lord, the Lord said, actually, Rukmini, I did not marry you because I wanted to marry you. I married you because you were surrounded by Jarasandha and all these other demons, And I only came to the assembly to fight off the demons. But by the way, you were there, so I took you also. So her pride that I am exclusively, you know, wanted by the Lord was destroyed. There is a verse, 10th canto, chapter 60, verse number 21, where it is said, Taddarpagna uparamat. The Lord even crushed the pride of Rukmini Devi. Now a question arises, what about our pride? If we are proud of service, of our service, I am proud to be a book distributor, I am proud to be a preacher, I am proud to be a, you know, toilet cleaner, I am proud to be whatever, I am proud to just be, I am proud I can wear a dhoti, you know, we are proud of so many things. What about pride in service? Is that acceptable? Can we be proud of our service? Is the pride in our service accepted by the Lord? Yes, no? Huh? Sorry? Yes. Yes, generally we think it should be fine, right? We should be able to be proud of what I'm proud that I'm preaching. I'm proud that I'm doing book distribution. I'm serving. But the gopis, and we'll not dwell too much, and we have to finish soon as well, but the gopis, when they were in the rasa dance, Krishna left them because apparently they had shown some pride. Apparently, I say, it's a separate topic. But rather than going into that topic, what I would like to do is read a few lines from Krishna book, chapter 30, and we will end there. And please listen carefully. This is very, very important. Srila Prabhupada gives the crux of how pride cannot even come in our service. Listen carefully. Krishna book, chapter 30. Srila Prabhupada says, the gopis were aware of the reason for Krishna's sudden disappearance from the rasa arena. They could understand that when they had been enjoying Krishna, they thought themselves to be the most fortunate women within the universe. And since they were feeling proud, Krishna had disappeared immediately, just to curb their pride. I'll read that again. They could understand that when they had been enjoying Krishna, they thought themselves to be the most fortunate women within the universe. And since they were feeling proud, Krishna had disappeared immediately just to curb their pride. Now, Prabhupada is saying very powerful words. He says, Krishna does not like his devotees to be proud of their service to him. He accepts everyone's service, but he does not like one devotee to proudly consider himself better than others. If sometimes there are such feelings, Krishna ends them by changing his attitude toward that devotee. We could be proud and we can still do the service, and we may think nothing has changed. But Prabhupada says, Krishna's attitude towards you has changed. So it's wonderful how... Anyway, we wanted to go through Digvijaya and other things. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am time. So we have to respect time as well. So thank you very much.